Dwayne Lark.
Okay, Dwayne, I've got you. Go ahead, Teresa.
I do want to thank Nancy, and I want to thank Sharon for their comments. I do also want to mention I really do appreciate Pacifica Announce, which gives me a great idea of what is available. And since we don't have a program director at KPFT, I think that's a great service, and I think that clearly your budget contributes to that product or that service, as well as AudioPort, which is offering many options for not only our affiliates, which are happy clients, but also our sister stations. So I didn't think of it the way you did, Sharon, but I think of Pacifica Announce, and maybe most of you don't know what Pacifica Announce is, don't see it. I didn't receive it for many years, but now that I am receiving it again, I don't know why I didn't receive it, but for a while. But now that I am receiving it, it gives me a much clearer idea of many different options for us, and I can see what some of our affiliate stations, but our sister stations are producing for other stations to air. So thank you very much for that, Ursula. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. Go ahead, Dwayne. Dwayne, are you muted?
I was muted, thanks.
No problem.
I have a short statement and then a question to Ursula. The statement is, I think we'll go back and forth with the philosophy of whether or not national programming versus local programming has a deficit. And I think it's proven that it takes both to be a viable station or even a more robust station, because national programming that comports and have what is called non-endemic content, that would mean someone who's in New York wouldn't be interested in what's locally happening in Houston, but if it's a national item, national issue, national importance, national significance, doesn't matter where it emanates. Example would be Democracy Now! Jim Hightower's show when it was on, Drug War News, and I can go on, Flashpoints. So national programming does have its place in a network, but local programming obviously should drive the day, because most folks are listening. I know I do. It's some particular programming that emanate and is discussing and dealing with the issues or the music locally. So we just need to keep that in mind. The question I have for you, Ursula, is Robin and I went back and forth on this item on the national board as well as in other committees. Heather was quite neutral on the question of the issue, because Robin, one of your strongest advocates, obviously, for parity and equity in relationship. In fact, he wanted to make it one of the six what I call spokes in the wheel for the foundation that would make it equivalent to a unit or to a station, rather. Is that your view? And also, could you tell us, in your view, if there is a reciprocal benefit? I assume it is. That's why you stay in the network. Do you see that being in the network gives greater value to your organization, or the affiliates association give greater value to Pacifica? How do you see it?
Okay, there's a little bit to unpack here. First of all, we are a unit. So, yes, I have felt for years that the affiliate network program should be a unit of Pacifica, and it is one now. I am an employee of Pacifica. We are part of Pacifica. We're not another organization.
Well,
so
to be clear,
I'm not sure I understand you.
Well, I wasn't specific enough. So let me be clear. I voted to make you a unit, so I'm aware that you're a unit. But what I was alluding to with Robin and I discussion or arguments were that Robin actually wants to believe that the
Dwayne, this is the chair. Dwayne, This is the chair. You sound a little bit off mic. Can you talk closer to the mic? Thank you.
I'll just take it off speaker. I understand. I voted to make it a unit, Mickey a unit. So I'm very aware it was a unit. I meant
vote.
What I meant was that Robin was driving toward, he felt very aggrieved and very dissatisfied and believed that you should have four directors and the equivalent of voting and input in the foundation. I wanted to know where you stood on that. And the second part of that, I guess, four-part question was whether or not you believe there's reciprocal benefit being a part of the foundation, and I assume you are, you still stay within it, or do you believe it's lopsided?
I'm trying to understand your last question. I mean, I'm Pacifica. I came out of Pacifica. I work for Pacifica. I used to work at WBAI. I don't see the affiliate program as being outside of Pacifica. So I'm having trouble understanding what you're asking me because
I really want you to understand it because Robin, your director, had a different view than you. As I just stated that the affiliates don't have four director representatives. It has two. The affiliates don't have some other items that it has access to that if you were like a station equivalent unit. So I'm just trying to drive down to your view. Was it the same as his?
I have never discussed having four affiliate directors with Robin. I just don't think that would be practical. I don't think you would find four people who wanted to
good
do
enough.
That.
Good enough. I mean, that's good enough. I appreciate the answer. That's all. And as far as do you believe there's a reciprocal value in terms of what you the dues you pay and the benefit you receive?
You mean between there's a reciprocal value between Pacifica and the affiliate?
Yes.
Is that what you mean? Because I don't, you know, I'm not an affiliate. I mean, I run an affiliate, but in my job, I'm not an affiliate. I'm Pacifica. So, I understand that my job was created kind of as an ombudsman type of function of, you know, communicating to affiliates Pacifica's position and communicating to Pacifica affiliates' needs and positions. And I would say it's very reciprocal. I would say it's a relationship made in heaven. And
I'll reserve and the next time you come to the national board, I'll dig deeper on that relationship of who does represent. So thank you for your answer.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the chair. I'm going to ask those two quick questions I had, and then we're going to try to see if we can get a vote on accepting this budget and passing it on to the PNB. So my first quick question is, can you just, for the sake of the audience and for the members, say briefly what the network servers are that you provide and what's that about? Just a couple sentences. Ursula?
I'm sorry. I didn't could you repeat that, please?
Yes. You mentioned the network, the servers that you provide to the network.
Yeah.
Can you just elaborate on what they are for everybody's benefit?
Ruth, do you remember which ones they are?
I don't have the names exactly, but in my conversations with Otis, there's an archive
can
server.
Can you talk to us?
Pardon me?
Hello? It's okay. If you don't have a clear answer, that's fine.
The use of the server kind of overlaps between different stations and different functions. And I can get you that information, but I don't know it offhand.
Okay, it sounds like a technical issue. I just wanted, if possible, to let people know what the affiliates are doing for the network in that regard. And now I'm going to ask my other quick question, and it's as much to Fred as it is to you, and it's about that $17,000 that remains outstanding for the interdivision loan. And I was just wondering, Fred, if when that was mentioned as being paid as opposed to not being paid, did they specifically mention the affiliates that weren't paid, or could that possibly have been one of the other interdivisional loans, if you can recall or if you know.
James?
Yes.
James, as
far
as...
Yeah, that was for you, Fred. Go ahead.
As far as my memory goes, I think it was explicitly the affiliates. It was named as the affiliates loan.
Okay, thank you. That's all I wanted to ask. That's good. Thank you, Fred. So, all right, now I'm going to move that we approve this budget for passing to the PNB. You know, the National Finance Committee recommends that the PNB approve the affiliates budget. And I'm going to, with trepidation, I'm going to suggest, unless somebody would like to suggest that it be put into the format, the template format that our Paul brought up. But I think that this is sufficient for the PNB to consider it. And the object for me here is to get some budgets passed, especially with the big loan extension coming up. I'd like to be able to have budgets in place, even if they don't all use the same template. But I, you know, if that's the only problem, perhaps we could just pass it and hope that that will happen next time, or could possibly even happen in the interim between us passing it on to the PNB and the PNB acting on it. But I guess it has to be in the same form. So is there any discussion on that question?
Our Paul, for
Chris, for you, the stack.
I see. I heard our Paul, someone else, and then Chris. Was there another person in between our Paul and Chris?
I would, Ruth here, Ursula's business manager, I would like to add something to that at the appropriate time.
Okay, let me hear from our Paul, then we'll go to you, Ruth, because I think I did hear you, and then we'll go to Chris. Go ahead, our Paul.
We don't have to bring up the template and all that. Part of my concern here is that we have the spreadsheet, because we're going to have to look at these budgets for the future. We should, you know, it isn't like, okay, we passed the budget, we never look at it again. So we should have these sort of on file, so to speak, so that we can then discuss things around all of Pacifica. So that's all. I mean, it doesn't have to, the way I have your motion is the NFC recommends that the PNB approve the affiliates FY21 budget.
Yes,
and
that is the motion. Yes, it is. And I'll just say that perhaps when Ruth speaks, she could address the question of whether it might be possible for them to put that into the format of that template. And if you don't have it, we'll make sure that Anita gets it to you. It was my understanding that she did make it available, but I could be mistaken. Ruth?
Yes. It is possible that she made it available, and I'll have to look for that, but I can easily transfer our budget to their template.
Wonderful. And, R. Paul, is there a way that if they do that before the PNB looks at it, that could still – would we have to bring it back to the committee and approve it again in the changed form, or could we just say it's the same thing? Okay.
I would carry the same Ruth here. I would carry the same totals for income and expenses to. I would just transfer them to their template. We have our own accounts that we use, but I can easily transfer them to that template. It wouldn't take me more than a day.
Thank you, Ruth. Chris, I'm going to get to you in a second. I heard our Paul trying to come back on that.
Yeah. My main thing at this point in time is we should have on hand the budgets that we're approving, so that, you know, the actual spreadsheet and all that, because we're going to maybe need to discuss these things later in the year. So we should just have it. That's all my point is. And
understood.
To make your motion, like other motions, how about the NFC recommends to the PNB the approval of the affiliates FY21 budget? That sounds about right?
Sounds right. And I'll just add that you know, one of my objectives in becoming chair, or, you know, once I was chair, was to get more uniformity in the practices, and that using the template was one of those things. So I am definitely wanting to do that. And so now, Chris.
Yeah, I was just going to say that since there's going to be no material change to the budget as we get over to the format, the NFC can approve the budget, you know, in the format that it has been presented to us. And what I've heard from the affiliates is that they've already volunteered to move those numbers over so that we have easier reference to them in the future. I don't see any reason to hold their feet to the fire on that, because it sounds like they're going to do it voluntarily. Sorry to speak in third person when everybody else is present on the call, but it seems to me like we can pass the budget and that the affiliates will comply with the request to put it into the format so that we can look at it in future reference, and we can just expedite this and get it through. Thank you.
In good faith, I will do that. Yes.
Thank you, Ruth, and thank you, Chris. And I want you to know that my mother would appreciate your sense of propriety about speaking of people in the third person. I appreciate that. So, is there any further discussion on the motion?
I would like, Ruth here, Ursula's business manager, I would like to add, if you have not scrolled through the PDF to the second page, the first page being the budget, the second page being Ursula's balance, the balance sheet for the affiliates network. This is where we show how we can manage our income and expenses with the assets and liabilities on that budget.
Thank you, Ruth.
If you haven't seen that second page, which is the balance sheet, you know, then that will show that we can, you know, fund our the special projects Ursula puts forth, and in addition to her operating expenses. Thank you.
Yes, and I believe what we're doing is passing on. In one budget, we sent and Ursula and I spoke about this earlier. We sent some assumptions sheet and also a narrative with the PFW budget, and WBAI sent along a slideshow and some other interpretive materials for the PMB. So that will be included when we pass this to the PMB for their perusal, you know, prior to the meeting. Right, Arpal, isn't that what we've done?
We've passed along what we've got.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, well, thank you. And so now I'm going to ask if there's any further discussion. If not, is there any objection to passing this affiliates budget? Hearing none, we'll consider it done. And we can now move on to and thank you, Ursula and Ruth. And you can go home and get some rest, and we really much appreciate your efforts.
Can I make a brief statement before we
move on? Of course. I'm sorry, yes.
Okay, I just that's okay. I thank you for passing the budget, and I just want to express that at the Affiliate Network office, we very much, feel part. We very much want to be really good team players, and we are always looking at an eye for how we can use our good operation to help. You know, we are happy to loan money to the stations when it's necessary, and to help in other ways. We want the benefit of the network to really benefit Pacific as a whole. We feel very strongly about that.
Well, thank you for that. And I will say again that Anita, our ICFO, has expressed her appreciation of your work and your balance of your books and the successfulness of your operations and the quality of your financials, and I thank you and appreciate your attitude, and that's how I've found working with you to be. So, all good.
Okay,
so,
thank you. Good night.
Get some rest. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night, Ruth.
So,
good night. Thank you.
Let's go on now to Fred Blair, who has a report for us. We'll have some question and answers. Fred, are you ready?
I believe so. Hold on. I'm bringing up, I sent everybody a letter, or excuse me, an email that I received this afternoon from our business manager, Barry Brooks, basically giving some statistics on the KPFK bank accounts as of today. Maybe I should just read this letter and from Barry, and so people understand the numbers. The KPFK local.
Point of personal privilege. Sorry.
One second, Fred. Go ahead, Paulina.
Thank you, Fred. I'm having a hard time hearing you. You're a bit far away from the mic, perhaps. Is that possible? I'm just having trouble.
Sorry
for
interrupting. Is this a little better? Is this a little
better?
Okay.
Much better. Thank you very much.
I have a boom microphone on a headset, and I just readjusted it. I'm sorry about that. I'm going to – this started at the KPFK Local Finance Committee meeting of 2 weeks ago on the January 13th. We got a report from the business manager, and at that meeting it was reported that the balance of the operating bank account for KPFK on January 15th was going to be $17,000 basically. And so I was concerned about the we knew that the business manager had met the first payroll of January on the 15th, but I was worried about the second payroll coming up this Friday. Actually, the payroll has to be paid. The second payroll is paid tomorrow, which is the 27th of January, and so I requested on Monday morning that Barry send out. I asked these questions specifically about the bank accounts and where we stood. So I'll just read his email. KPFK's current bank balances at Bank of America is currently $38,529. The January 31st, 2021 payroll funded amount will be $60,216,000. KPFK will probably be short for Wednesday's payroll funding amount. The total payout for the two KPFK employees laid off will be $13,500. We have outstanding vendor expenses of approximately $15,000. It is imperative that the February 2021 fund drive perform at its maximum in order for KPFK to catch up on its outstanding bills. And he gave a short report here on the individual employee amounts for that $13,500. And I deleted that from the email because I didn't want to release employee names and payout amounts. But so it appears that KPFK for Friday's payroll is going to have to get a loan of another loan of about $20,000 to $25,000. That's the long and short of it. So KPFK. In my treasurer's report for January, I detailed that KPFK is continuing to run up a debt on a monthly basis, on an average debt on a monthly basis, somewhere between $80,000 and $100,000 a month. This is with an average income to the station of about $200,000 per month. The December fund drive. KPFK's fund drives have been that the December fund drive ran for 21 days. formally and for another 10 days informally. There was income at the end of the month of about of December of about, I think, a grant of about $38,000. So KPFK does a fund drive for 1 month and then is off for 1 month, and then will be on again for another month and then off for a month. So effectively, the income in December is spread over 2 months. That's how we get the average income of $200,000 a month. So KPFK is still, even with the reduction in, I believe, two full-time employees and, a couple of employees were put on half-time. KPSK is still, bleeding money. And, I think that's the extent of my report. I think I want to open it up for discussion and get the wisdom of the group here on what's going, you know, what's happening. And,
okay.
If I can answer any specific questions, I will.
Thank you, Fred. Is there any discussion?
Arpal?
Go ahead, Arpal. Chris?
Yeah, okay. So, you say the debt is becoming 80 to 100 a month?
That's the difference in operating costs, versus income.
Okay. And then you said revenue in December is about $38,000, but you meant, did you mention a grant in there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. The fund drive report that we got listed the total income from the fund drive of $346,000. But I think some of the income at the end of the month was really not fund drive income, but actually grant income. So it's the nature of the fuzzy reporting that we're getting that is what I was complaining about.
So there's some mixing of sources in this. Okay. All right. It sounds dire. Okay. Thank you.
I agree, Arpal. That's why we're bringing this up at this meeting.
Sorry, I was muted. Go ahead, Chris.
Thank you, Chair. So, Fred, I realize that KPFK, I think everyone does, that KPFK has been running in arrears for a bit. It's also well known that there's been some budget in place. I'm wondering how the projected budget cuts will affect that negative balance going forward, since those cuts, for the greater part, I don't believe, have taken place yet. Could you speak to that? Thank you.
I'll try to, Chris. Obviously, the cuts are not immediately reducing costs, because there are payouts that are associated with those cuts, which are being paid currently. As was indicated, this month, $13,500 in payouts to employees have to be paid. That will probably be included in any borrowing of money to help to pay payroll. I mean, that's included in the pay. What I'm saying is that $13,500 is included in the payroll. And the payroll is $60,216. So we're still paying out a lot of money. The reductions will take place in the later months, probably starting in February. Excuse me.
Nancy, to the back.
Follow-up question, please.
Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. So I understand that they haven't taken place yet. What I'm asking is, and I think the answer is basically that they'll positively impact the deficit going forward, at least on paper. I'm just wondering whether you have a feel for that or not, or whether it's just too up in the air at this juncture to project. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's up in the am I off mute? Yeah, I think it's still up in the air.
We can hear you, Brent.
Yeah, I think it's still up in the air, and I don't think the cuts made so far are sufficient to deal with the deficit that we're running. And also, there's been some disturbing cuts in one of the fund drive programmers was cut. In fact, our major fund drive programmer was cut, which may impact the February fund drive severely.
I guess follow up, Chris?
No, that's fine. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. We'll go to Nancy.
Yes, so I'm looking at the financials that Anita sent us for October 2020, and that's where we have, like, the last payroll figures that I know. Maybe there's some more recent ones. But there was salaries of $122,000 in September, and then payroll taxes of $9,350, and health benefits of $32,000. So does this $60,000 figure that you're mentioning, is that just salaries, or does that include taxes or health benefits? No.
That's just salaries. It doesn't include the health care or the payroll taxes. And the payroll and health care has gone up 30% this year.
Yeah. So that figure is actually before the cuts. What it's closer to what the payroll was in September, 122,000. It's maybe a little bit less. 120-something.
Well, the payroll and so
that's payroll. That's a half a month's worth of payroll, right? 60,000. It's the second payment of the month again.
Our current payroll is 70. The first payroll of the month was 75,000, and the second payroll was supposed to be 65,000. And the reason that this payroll is 60,000 may be because of some of the reductions that have taken place already. That may be some of the benefits.
Some of the earlier cut. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but the September payroll included severance pay, so that the September payroll was actually higher because of reductions. That's my understanding.
Well, if the September payroll is, if you divide that in two, it's approximately 60-some thousand. So I'm trying to see if there's severance on here. I don't see it.
The P&Ls do not – I looked at the P&Ls. They don't show any – they don't show severance. My understanding is severance was merged into payroll. If Anita was here, she could talk on that point.
I see. Well, still, so 60, if you double 60,000, that's still close to, earlier in the year, it was, 134 back in October 2019, and 132, 130, 129, 132, 129, 125, 122, 122, 123, 121. You know, it's about running what it has been monthly. So 60,000, double that is still 120. So clearly there's not that much of the cuts involved in that.
I just brought up my P&L from November from the consolidated P&L, and it shows October's payroll at being $188,000 and November's payroll being $181,000. And my understanding is that included severance pay and termination costs.
I see.
For the earlier reductions, but not the the reductions that just took place.
Oh, okay.
Excuse me, Fred and Nancy. This is the chair. I just want to say that we're almost at time, and if anybody wants to continue this conversation past our time certain, they would have to make a motion to extend.
So I move that we extend for 10 minutes.
10 minutes, yeah.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, we're extended for 10 minutes. Go ahead. Thank
you. I just one question. Do you know, Fred, how close we are to getting a budget from KPFK for the fiscal 2021?
Basically, the KPFK LSB rejected the budget provided by management, and so basically they left it up to us to generate some kind of a compromise budget.
Well, do you think we could get the comments from the LSB on the budget plus a copy of the budget so that we could do that? If it's been left up to us?
Certainly. The problem is that the management never came up with a realistic budget. The chair of the local finance committee has lots and lots of comments and suggestions on fixing the budget. But the biggest problem was the fund drive income was never realistically laid out and planned.
Right. I think that we have, and several directors have been asking for the cost of the premiums versus the money that the premiums raise. And I don't think that that's been given to anybody yet. So that would be good to get also.
Mark Wolfenstein.
Sorry, muted again. Go ahead, R. Paul.
That's all for me. Thank you.
Fred, you said that, you said that basically the LSB rejected the management FY21 budget and, quote, left it up to us, unquote. The us in that is the KPFK Local Finance Committee, right?
No, the us would being basically the us being the NFC.
Doesn't sound realistic to me. I mean, we're not there. I mean,
Nancy, Chair.
Point of order, Mr. Chair. Dwayne Lark.
Nancy, hold on, everybody. Nancy, let R. Paul finish. But I did hear a point of order. Hold on. Dwayne got a point of order in there, so let's deal with that. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Yeah, it's relative to R. Paul's just his comment. Just a moment ago, that didn't seem whatever. We actually moved the motion that if, in fact, a station did not submit a budget, whether approved or not approved, by its local LSB to this body.
What's the point of order?
A budget. She want to put a point of order on top of a point of order before you rule on the point of order, but I don't know.
What's the rule that's being broken?
No, I think she was asking what the point of order, what the rule was. Okay. But
the rule
I guess,
is what we've established previously. That's the rule that's being broken.
Right. We did pass a motion some time ago that within 2 weeks stations would submit a budget or we would proceed to do them for the stations. And that was quite some time ago.
That's the rule.
My point being.
Oh, I'm sorry. I rule that the point of order was well taken.
It's not a rule that's
No, it's not what. No, nobody's violated a rule here. I'm saying something.
Yeah.
I'm saying that this is going to be really difficult, and is it not possible that, like, the local people should really get a hold of this and go for it? Because it's going to be kludgy, and it's going to be difficult doing it by remote control from the NFC, I think, especially if management is giving numbers, you know, that aren't so great. What are we supposed to do about numbers that aren't so great?
Well, that the chair is going to simply say that that was a motivational motion that we made, and we have not actually taken any action on the two-week limit, mostly because we've had other budgets to look at, and we had the central services formula situation. I take the point. I just want to ask if Dwayne is satisfied with how we're handling the question.
Well, he didn't make a point of order. Yeah, the whole point of order was to adhere. I don't know if the member remembered or not, because I was responding to the fact that on the floor there is a conversation that it would be out of order almost if this body did what it said it was going to do in its motion previously. So we've already created. We put that in motion. So it's time for us to act on it.
Chair Nancy, for a point of personal privilege, I was waiting for our Paul to finish, and I was going to comment that we voted on this before, and that's why I asked Fred to see if he could get us the information that we would need to carry out what we did in that resolution. But there was no rule broken. Our Paul was just commenting on how difficult that would be. There was no rule broken, and there was no call call for Mr. Lark to jump in with a point of order, because he did not have a point of order. And he jumped in ahead of me with a point of order that he did not have. And I object to that.
I take the point, and
I wish you would stop doing that, making points of order that are not points of order, just so that he can get the floor and talk and talk and talk and talk.
All right. Let's try not to characterize each other's motives, and let's also try and move past this. We've only got 3 minutes, so I'm going to rule that our Paul was simply making a comment. The comment is not out of order itself. The question will be, is it appropriate or, you know, will ARPAL make some other objection when and if we go to taking up the issue of creating a budget for KPFK, as we said we would do in our previous motion. Hoping that allows us to move on, since we only have 2 more minutes.
I would like a point of personal privilege.
Yes, you deserve one. Go ahead.
Yes, this member, whom describing my actions as talk, when I think it's been clear on the national board as well as here, she's the most interruptive person that is around. So for her to call me out like that,
point of order.
It's pretty much like a porcupine someone without time.
Okay. I'm going to say that this whole thing is getting out of order. And I heard someone raise another point of order. I'm hoping we can just move on. Was there somebody with yet another point of order? Hearing none.
Can you hear me?
Yes. I hear you now.
I raised a point of order because I don't appreciate some reference to what's happening on the national board because I'm not privy to those meetings. I'm interested in what's happening at this meeting. So, thank you. That's my point.
Okay, I'm not clear that that's a point of order either. So let's just go on.
Right.
Everybody's had their say. I heard you, Dwayne, but I didn't hear what you said.
There's a lot of hypocrisy and privilege going on here from who can determine a point of order and who don't.
There too.
Okay. I can see where this is going. I'm just going to move on. We've only got another minute. Is there any more comment on the report from Fred Blair? I'd like to hear if anybody from KPFT or KPFK has anything to say about how they're doing on creating a budget, which we're kind of already talking about for KPFK. Is there any, I know there's a new general manager at KPFT. Is there any sign that things will move forward with creating a budget there from anyone at KPFT, hopefully?
Can you hear me?
Yes, Teresa, go ahead.
Yes. I just wanted you to know that I'm not the chair of the finance committee, so we have not had a finance committee meeting. But we do have a new general manager. He started on Friday the 15th, and so he was off on MLK Day. So he's worked about 8 days total. I did speak with him briefly on Monday, and I called it to his attention that we need to work on a budget. This committee does have the budget that was submitted by our IGM and business manager. I think that needs to be worked on. I just told the new GM that he needs to get with the business manager, and hopefully we can meet with our committee and he can submit a budget. I'm most concerned, for example, that if we're going to do repairs on the building, that we need to get estimates for those repairs, and that needs to be in the budget. So that's
okay. We're about to be out of time. Is there anybody who would like to extend? We have actually this item and one more item on the agenda. If anybody would like to extend,
move to extend 5 minutes.
Any objection to 5 more minutes?
Objection.
Okay. There's an objection. I think we have to go to a vote then. Paul, will you take the roll? Will you take the vote?
Give me a second.
Take your time.
It'll go pretty fast here. Okay. The motion is to extend the time of the meeting by 5 minutes. Please answer when you hear your name. Sharon Adams.
No.
Teresa J. Allen. Teresa J. Allen.
I abstain.
Nick Arena. I don't hear Nick. Fred Blair.
Yes.
Chris Corey.
Pass.
Dwayne Lark.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin, no. James Dagerton.
I'll vote yes for 5 minutes.
Anita Sims, not here. Nancy Sorden.
No.
Polina Vasiliev.
The vote's yes.
And going back to people. Nick Arena, are you here? Okay, no vote from Nick Arena. And Chris Corey?
Yes.
Okay, 5-4, 3 against, 1 abstention. Needs a 2/3. 5-3 is not 2/3.
That's right. Okay. As the case may be, we are then adjourned. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for participating. Thank you for passing.
Don't we vote on the budget? Isn't that the last? Did we vote on? Don't we still have to vote on the motion?
We did
Thanks,
that.
Paul. Okay, thank you.
Thank you all.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.